with several bills on our agenda. The first one is a open a public, excuse me, a work session on Senate Bill 5537, Psychiatric Security Review Board. Recognize Senator Cordley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Senate Bill 5537 is the budget bill for the Psychiatric Security Review Board. The board supervises custody and release of persons who have been found guilty, except for insanity, of committing a crime in Oregon. The Psychiatric Security Review Board operates with general fund support. It has a small amount of other funds from a one-time 1994 award from the American Psychiatric Association. The board uses a small portion of these funds for staff and board member training each biennium. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends a budget of $754,861 general fund and $2,000 other funds. This is 4.9% below the governor's balanced budget. The budget growth is due primarily to roll-up costs of salary adjustments approved for the 2001-03 biennium. There are no enhancements in the budget. Adjustments were made for the salary freeze, attorney general rate reduction, inflation, and the DAS assessment reduction. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5537 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Cordley.
I would just share with the full Ways and Means Committee that as we were in work session with the Psychiatric Review Board, we did hear from them concern about the increasing numbers in their caseload. That increase is also reflected at the Oregon State Hospital, which has seen an increase of, I believe the number was 41 people since January, and that's at a cost of $110,000 per bed. That cost and that increase is directly related to cuts in community-based mental health services, and again, I bring it to the attention of the full Ways and Means Committee because it's a critical issue that needs to be followed.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none. Senate Bill 5537 is passed to the floor. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 5542. Recognize Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5542 is the budget bill for the Department of Revenue, which is responsible for enforcement of our state income tax laws. It is responsible also for ensuring counties properly and consistently administer property tax matters. It conducts appraisals on all industrial plants with values in excess of $1 million and appraisals of utility companies. In short, it is responsible for the proper administration of the lion's share of taxing authority in the state. The subcommittee made reductions for the governor's salary freeze, reduced inflation on services and supplies, a reduced attorney general billing rate, and reduced Department of Administrative Services assessment. That was a net result, was $2.9 million reduction in general fund. We also eliminated 10 vacant positions whose funding was transferred to needed services and supply costs. We shifted funding of the Tobacco Compliance Task Force from general fund to other fund. We felt that the increased other funds receipts from the task force activity should fund its efforts. This resulted in an additional $1.4 million reduction in general fund. The increase in other funds will replace the $1.4 million and also replace $700,000 general fund in the Department of Justice budget. The state police will receive $900,000 for its task force costs. As an example, in the budget report, we also provided additional staff and funding for the revenue enhancement activities with an additional $5.1 million in funding. The department expects to increase general fund receipts by 20.5 $1.2 million, yielding a net revenue gain of $15.1 million. The department will report to the Emergency Board in late 2004 on the revenue enhancement activities. The department also will transfer $20 million to the general fund on the senior property tax deferral revolving account by June 30, 2005. The revenue enhancements and transfer were included in the governor's budget and the co-chair's budget. Your general government subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5542 as amended and reported out with the due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is so ordered. We'll open up a work session.
Mr. Chairman, before you go
to the next... Carter!
I'm just so glad to see Representative Butler back, and just want to welcome him back to the committee and seeing how wonderful he looks.
Thank you so kindly.
It is a delight, I'm sure, for some to have him back. We'll now open up a work session on House Bill 5010 and recognize Senator Depp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5010 is the budget bill for the Construction Contractors Board. The CCB regulates the profession of construction contracting through a licensing program, provides dispute resolution services for contractors and consumers, and cooperates with local law enforcement and the Department of Justice in the investigation and prosecution of illegal activity. PCP revenues are all other funds, chiefly from contractor licensing fees. The budget is dependent on a change in license fee structure to a flat biennial fee for all licensee types. The governor's budget was built on a proposed fee of $320, but the subcommittee determined that level to be more than is needed to support the programs. This is due to the CCB's current rate of new licensing and license renewals and a higher than expected ending balance for 2001. 2003 biennium. In addition, House Bill HB 2233 has passed both chambers. It authorizes the CCB to impose a fee to file a claim. The recommended budget is $11,653,896 other funds and 60.65 FTE. The subcommittee reduced the governor's balanced budget for the agency by $416,433, down 3.5%. The budget includes a reduction of $369,837 from the statewide salary freeze, lower attorney general, and DASH charges, and reductions for inflation. The budget also made position adjustments that resulted in a net reduction of $46,596 and one position. The subcommittee reviewed the CCB's projected ending balance. The subcommittee recommended that the license fee not exceed $295 per biennium and that the license and claim fees be set at levels that will not result in an ending balance that exceeds the agency's established goal of a six-month ending balance. General Government Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 50 can be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Is there discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is so ordered. Now open up a work session on House Bill 5026, Representative Bates.
Well, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I would like to take a moment to welcome Representative Butler back also, but with some mixed emotions. with the return of Representative Butler and the return of Representative Girard and the expected return on Monday of Representative Westland, my secret plan to seize control of the House of Representatives is in serious difficulty.
Must reduce his fee income.
However, I have other plans, so some of you better watch it.
It really wasn't much of a secret.
Well, it wasn't a secret we wanted it to be. It got to be pretty obvious. Mr. Co-Chair, Senate Bill 5026 is the health-related licensing boards. House Bill 5026 includes the budget for 10 health-related licensing boards. These agencies are supported entirely by other funds generated from fees paid by the licensees and other miscellaneous revenues. The budget for each of these boards was reduced to reflect the merit increase freeze, the adjustment in the Attorney General charges, and the DASC assessment reduction. The subcommittee reviewed and approved the performance measures of each board. There was extensive discussion regarding ending balances, and any balance for each agency was individually considered. The Board of Pharmacy's budget was increased to include limitation for information technology projects that were delayed in the current biennium, but will carry over into the 2003-05 biennium. During the 0103 interim, the Board of Radiological Technology instituted a $50 expedited license fee, which the subcommittee did not feel was appropriate. The Board was directed, through a budget note, to develop procedures to expedite all license fees and report to the Emergency Board on the implementation of the improvements. An increase in other funds expenditure limitation for the current biennium was approved. And Co-Chair Schrader should listen carefully here for the Veterinary Medical Examining Board to address higher than anticipated legal costs associated with the disciplinary case of a licensee which has been appealed to the Oregon Supreme Court. My understanding is this does not personally affect our co-chair.
No, it does not.
The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5026 be amended and reported out due pass as amended, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bates. Is there discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is ordered. Open up a work session on House Bill 5019. Representative Bates.
Yeah, House Bill 5019, Mr. Co-Chair, is health-related licensing boards. This is the fee bill for licensing boards. House Bill 5019 ratifies fees established or increased during the 0103 biennium. ORS 291.055 requires that the legislature approve new fees or fee increases adopted by agencies during interim, if those fees are to continue into the next biennium. House Bill 5019 includes fee increases for the Mortuary and Cemetery Board, the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators, the Board of Pharmacy, and the Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. The 2001 Legislative Assembly approved these fees during the budget process, and they must now be ratified. 2003-05 budgets for these agencies have been approved based on revenue generated from the fee changes. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5019 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Bates. Is there a discussion of the motion? Is there objection? Seeing none, it is agreed to. Open up a work session on House Bill 5037, Board of Medical Examiners. Representative Bates.
Three in a row, Mr. Co-Chair. Yeah. Here we go, and save the best for last. This is my board. House Bill 5037, the Board of Medical Examiners budget. The Board of Medical Examiners regulates several health professionals, including physicians, podiatrists, physician's assistants, and acupuncturists. The Board receives no general fund for its operation and instead relies on other funds' revenue from license fees. The Board's budget has increased by more than one-third over the last three biennia, while the number of new applicants has more than doubled. During this time, the Board has added no employees. The Board has absorbed as much additional work as it can, and your Human Services Subcommittee approved four policy option packages to address the increasing workload with a combination of enhanced technology, adding one new full-time position, and increasing three part-time positions to full-time. The policy option packages add $241,708 of other fund expenditure limitation and a total of 1.6 full-time equivalent positions. Your subcommittee made technical adjustments to the Department of Administration Service and turned general assessment totaling $55,759. We also reviewed inflation included in the budget base budget and allowed inflation on a space rent due to a recently renegotiated lease, but disapproved $38,988 inflation add-on other services. The board had no vacant positions, but your subcommittee did reduce merit increases by $113,204. The board's ending balance and renewal cycle was a subject of an interim study which found the board's practice of renewing all licenses in January of each year was a cost-effective method for the board and its stakeholders, but that it drives the need for the board to retain higher ending balances. The board demonstrated that it manages its resources on a 10-year cycle and adjusts license fees infrequently, with the most recent increase occurring in 1999. We accepted the board's rationale for its ending balance, which is currently about 12 months, but will decline in the coming biennium, with the board projecting a deficit cash flow by 2009. There is a benefit to the general fund from the ending balance. Interest that accrues in the balance is not available to use by the board. It instead is deposited in the general fund. We made a net increase in the other fund's expenditure limitation of 6.3% for a total other fund's expenditure limitation of $6,682,377. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5037 be amended and report out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Bates. Is there a discussion? Is there objection to the motion? If not, it is agreed to. Open up a work session on House Bill 5024. Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5024 is the budget bill for the Health Licensing Office. The Health Licensing Office was created by the 1999 Legislative Assembly to provide uniform structure and accountability for 9 health boards, councils, and programs. The agency is supported entirely through other funds, with licensing and service fees paid by those whom the boards regulate. The Education Subcommittee approved a budget of $4,513,106 other funds. This is a 3.5% decrease from the governor's balanced budget. The budget was adjusted to reflect the merit increase freeze, the telecommunications long-distance rate reduction, the DAS assessment reduction, inflation reduction, and the attorney and the adjusted attorney general charges. The subcommittee approved a policy package for several information technology projects with the directive that the agency provides a report to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and the Emergency Board on projects completed in the 2001-03 biennium and specific projects and costs associated with each project for the 2003-05 biennium. The subcommittee did not approve position reclassifications or increasing 2 positions from part-time to full-time. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5024 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. House Bill 5025, open a work session. Representative T. Smith.
House Bill 5025 is a fee bill for the Health Licensing Office that accompanies the budget bill. The 2001 legislature approved the fee increases during the budget process. The budget for the 2003-05 assumes continuation of these fees. The legislature must now ratify the increases made by administrative rule during the interim. Fees for body piercing and denture technology were increased. For example, the body piercing facility licensure application fee went from $100 to $150, and the denture technology practitioner's license renewal increased from $350 to $495. The Education Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5025 be reported out with a due pass recommendation.
Is there discussion? Is there objection to the increase in the body piercing?
Mr. Chair, is that a discussion about increasing the fees or increasing body piercing? Both
the fees. If there is no discussion and no objection, the amendment or the bill is agreed to. The motion is agreed to. All right, we've got other bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 2325 will open up a work session and recognize Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The 1990 legislature enacted legislation creating the Health Licensing Office as an agency which provides oversight and centralized services for 9 occupational and professional licensing boards. Currently, all of the 9 professional programs have individual statutes which contain provisions that pertain to duties and responsibilities, enforcement activities, and the separation of authority. House Bill 2325 is a continuation of the consolidation process and creating uniformity by removing the individual provisions and incorporating them into the Health Licensing Office statutes. While most of the bill incorporates technical revisions of the law, certain sections address fee changes for the Health Licensing Office, including separating the cosmetology license into multiple fields of practice. The governor's balanced budget for the Health Licensing Office is dependent upon passage of this legislation. The Education Subcommittee recommends 2325 be reported out with due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Is there a discussion of the motion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the motion is agreed to. Well, other business, the Department of Agriculture, Natural Resources Subcommittee. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The next two grant applications are Exhibit A and B, and why you should not miss your committee meetings. You will end up carrying these bills.
I didn't say they got out.
Mr. Co-Chair, the Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends the approval of a grant application to the United States Department of Agriculture for a $100,000 grant for control of scrapies. Scrapies is a fatal degenerative disease that affects the central nervous system of sheep and goats. Scrapies is one of the transmissible spongiform
stuff you got.
I'm glad it's just animal scrapies we're talking about.
It takes a veterinarian to say that.
It's going to take a magician to say this next sentence I got to say. Scrapies is one of the transmissible spongiform encephalopathies, which includes mad cow disease in cattle and chronic wasting disease in elk and deer. Scrapies has occurred periodically in Oregon.
Really?
There is no cure, and the usual response to an outbreak is destruction of the infected flock. The combination of production losses and restrictions in domestic and international commerce, as well as the potential link between feline spongiform encephalopathy in European cats and Creutzfeldt-Jakob in people, has led. I hate you, Ken Rocco. Has led the USDA to develop a strong scrapie eradication program in the United States. The grant will be used to increase awareness among sheep and goat producers of the disease and provide genetic testing of flocks. Researchers have identified a single chromosome marker that identifies animals that are resistant to the disease. By screening breeding stock for its presence and eliminating those that do not have it, sheep and goat flocks can become safe from scrapies. There is no matching fund requirement, nor is there any obligation to continue funding after the grant expires. The Oregon Department of Agriculture will accomplish the necessary work from existing staff. Your Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application.
Well done. Thank you, Representative.
I have a question, Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to declare a potential conflict of interest. I think the last time the scrapies appeared in Oregon, my kids got tickets for the concert.
I want the record to show that the rural legislators are laughing harder than the urban.
Is there any further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none. Grant approval. Grant is given approval. Another Department of Agriculture grant application, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends the approval of a grant application to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for $44,000 non-competitive grant for water pollution control demonstration project. The Department of Agriculture would use the grant to purchase and install 10 weather stations in Northwest Oregon, telecommunications lines to transmit the data collected, and a computer workstation with software to model the information into a manure spreading guidance index.
Okay.
No, this is real. For you guys, the coast.
I can't look at Senator Dukes. The objective.
We have one of those.
We don't want anybody looking at her right now either.
The objective of the project, Mr. Co-Chair, is to provide more localized real-time weather forecasts and a useful index for combined animal feeding operators to use to determine the best time and place to spread manure in their fields to reduce the likelihood of polluted runoff into water courses. Although there is no matching fund requirement, the Department of Agriculture will provide staffing to oversee and support the project at an estimated value of $20,000. It is hoped that this will make the application more appealing to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. There is no obligation to continue funding after the grant expires. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of the grant application.
Is there a discussion?
Mr. Chair,
just a question. Senator Winters.
Just a question. How deep is the manure going to be?
As deep as you want it, Senator.
Chairman.
Can't imagine why the federal government has a deficit. Any other Senator George.
Well, you know, I was an Aggie in college, and I don't know what a manure spreading guidance index is. Can you tell me what that is?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator George, after we get this swell grant, we'll know what it is.
Isn't that how high your hip boots have to be?
Is there objection to the grant request? If not, it is agreed to. Representative G. Smith.
Thank you, Co-Chair Miller. I guess I get to follow up on Representative Johnson. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Legislative Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Family and Youth Services Bureau for a State Youth Development Collaboration Project grant. It's in the amount of $1,120,000, and it will be used to continue positive youth development activities. The Commission received a five-year grant in 1998 to begin developing a state-level partnership and collaboration effort to promote positive youth development for youth services. The Commission provides training, helped develop policy recommendations for state and local partners, completed promotional materials and public service announcements, research and made best practice information available to service providers, and funded rural community grants and youth scholarships to support positive youth development activities. States who receive the first five-year grant can apply for another five-year grant to expand work on the local level. Applications are due by June 9, 2003. The grant funds will support project staff, grants to counties, local training and resources, and materials as part of a statewide effort. In addition, one pilot site will be selected to test and evaluate youth development policy strategies and outcomes. The 10% state matching fund requirement will be met from existing in-kind or program expenditures. The Commission will return to the Emergency Board for expenditure limitation and continued position authority if the grant is received. Your Subcommittee on Human Services recommends approval of this request.
Is there a discussion of the request? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is agreed to. Open up discussion from Senator Gordley on children, adults, and families grant application.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Legislative Committee on Ways and Means retroactively approve the submission of a federal grant application to the U.S. Department of Labor for an Employment Retention and Advancement Demonstration Projects grant of $1 million to continue three Oregon job retention and advancement demonstration programs. The Department of Human Services received grant funds in 2001 to begin developing and evaluating new strategies to help low-wage workers retain jobs and advance to higher-paying jobs. DHS developed three demonstration sites in Eugene, Salem, and Medford using federal temporary assistance to needy families' funds for the site's operating costs. The federal grant funds support the project evaluation. The initial grant anticipated the three sites would operate into 2005. However, with limited state and TANF funds and growing TANF caseloads, the proposed DHS budget did not allocate operating funds to the three demonstration sites. The Department of Labor was interested in continuing the demonstration sites through the full project period and identified this additional $1 million grant to do that. The grant does not require state matching funds or new state staff. The application request is retroactive because DHS received notice of the grant's availability on May 6th, with the application due by May 14, 2003. Your Subcommittee on Human Services recommends approval of this request.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, request is agreed to. Representative T. Smith, grant application in regard to genetics program capacity.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Legislative Committee on Ways and Means retroactively approve the submission of a federal grant application to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for a genetics capacity grant. The Human Services The Department of Human Services, DHS, applied for the grant to provide funding to develop genetic research expertise to improve its existing disease condition surveillance program in public health and to improve training for public health professionals in genetics. The grant is for up to 5 years with an annual funding from $150,000 to $250,000. If successful, the agency would use these funds to add two positions that will coordinate a pilot project integrating genetic research into existing public health programs. The pilot project will focus on existing diabetes and congenital hearing loss programs. If the grant is approved, DHS will return to the Emergency Board for expenditure limitation and authorization for position authority. Your Subcommittee on Human Services recommends approval of this request. The Subcommittee also discussed the importance of a second component to the grant to develop a state physical activity and nutrition program to reduce obesity and chronic diseases. Thank you.
Thank you for that gentle reminder. Is there a discussion of the grant application? Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question relative to the two positions. Are those limited duration or are those standard full-time positions?
I believe they're limited duration. But we can get some. Yes, she's nodding her
getting
head.
The
yes.
Nod.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion? Is there objection to the motion? If not, the request is approved. A grant application in regard to population-based birth defects. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Legislative Committee on Ways and Means retroactively approve the submission of a federal grant application to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for a population-based birth defects grant. The Department of Human Services applied for the grant to provide funding to develop and implement an Oregon birth defects surveillance program to track the incidence of birth defects. The grant is for up to 5 years with an average annual grant of about $100,000. If successful, the agency would use these funds to enhance Oregon's existing statewide integrated interactive public health data system. Ultimately, this research may provide information that would allow medical professionals to prevent treatable birth defects. If the grant is approved, the Department of Human Services will return to the Emergency Board for expenditure limitation and authorization for position authority. Your Subcommittee on Human Services recommend approval of this request.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the request is agreed to. Is there anything further to come before the Ways and Means Subcommittee? And just a reminder that Representative T. Smith has some friends coming in this weekend from the WWE.
Woohoo!
Good friend Triple H and some of his buddies will be in town. We want you all to be there. And also, just on an even more serious note, we first of all thank our staff for all of the fabulous work they've been doing. They've been under a great deal of stress, and I would just and they're going to be under more stress, but what I would ask of each of the members, and maybe even a reminder to members not on this subcommittee, that if you have requests of your own, please try to get those come to the co-chairs, if you would, first. Just so that we can balance kind of their work time, and those of you who have individual requests that aren't necessarily related to the work of this committee, we need to try to stem that flow a little bit because they are extremely busy trying to reconcile our budget and discussions that are going on. So I just please understand their situation. Is there anything further to come before the committee? If not, thank you all very much for your work, and we are adjourned.